You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful work. Not only yesterday, but today and forever. Spirit of God, honor your word. Help us to understand. And our God, we're going to look to you to deal with our heads, our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth. God, you just have to help us, or else we have no help. God, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John in chapter 6, and you have a word, terriculus. That isn't a common word, terriculus. And that has to do with earth, earth life, earth living, earth dwellers, and it's used of earthworms, earthworms. People, things, earth dwells, earth, not water, not air, earth. You would recall that we came, you and all of us, if we follow the right normal pattern, except for the rapture of the church, what's going to happen? We're all going to go back to dust. The dust we came from, and dust we are. And dust we will return. So we're of the dust of the ground. So when it says terriculus, it's quite appropriate. We're earthbound. And thus in the light of that, earthbound, would you take a look, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in God giving you the different comparisons, etc., contrast, and going down to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, may I go to verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly, that's Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. So earthly, terriculus. Now that is a word that is quite appropriate for us humans because we're normally locked in to our earth setting. Now I know you can look up and say, well, maybe they'll find a little something up there in one of the planets or something. But all of that is, forget it. Now, in the process of that, in the light of that statement, terriculus only, would you go in the light of 1 Corinthians, earthly people are very earthly. Thus, over if you would please to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. The Gospel of John in chapter 6. And you would recall that the Lord fed them in John chapter 6, picking up, please, in verse 12, or verse 10, just to get the idea. They set down a number 5,000, and God took the five barley loaves and the two small fishes, and they had a fish sandwich, perhaps. Now, you can bet your boots that that fish sandwich, that fish, and that biscuit, they never tasted anything like them. God made them from his recipe, perfect. Perfect biscuit, perfect fish. So you can understand now when you had a perfect meal that you would be interested in seeking to have another perfect meal. So now, here they are. They have gone and they followed him, remember, as we have shared, over to Capernaum. From Bethsaida, they've gone over by boat, most of them by boat. And they've gone over there seeking him. They find him. And in the process of finding him, remember now, and they're looking for him for a reason. They tried to make him king in chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. They tried to make him king. In verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come to take him by force, by violence, had no choice to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone, and we shared that kind of thing together. So here he is, he's going, and they have followed him all the way over there, and they're looking for provision. And you remember, as they came, they're looking for more of the same to fill their stomach. And all the healings, remember there were healings everywhere. He's healing hundreds of, I don't know how many thousand people, just healing them. So just, but the healing isn't the big thing among them. I would think that would be the major item, but it isn't. The major item for these people, for this crowd, wasn't the healings, which would be something else. It was the food. It was their stomach. And thus you have our Lord's answer in verse 26. They wanted to know how he got there, and Jesus answered them and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles or signs, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. So you're really excited about finding this special restaurant where you can eat for free and have all you want, anytime you want. Boy, this is the kind of thing we'd like to have in our government. So the people were looking for that, and they were going to try to make him king if they could. So now in the process, they're looking out for their stomach. That's the thing to think about. Earthly. Stomach. They aren't going anywhere else. They're stuck right here on earth with all the different comings and going, but they're earthly. So now, having said that, if I can, over in verse 28, remember, they wanted to know what they could do themselves. In other words, we're doers. We do have a moral, mental thinking that if we do something in and of and by ourselves, it will qualify us to be above all other people. So here's the common Jew, and then here's the Pharisee, Sadducee, in essence, up here. And they're going to go, and in the process, be a notch ahead up here of the crowd, because they're doing, the Pharisees, the good one that worked at it, the people, they worked at this something fierce, being a Pharisee. It was their whole life to put together what they could read and understand as much as they wanted to. So now, here they are, and they want to know what they can do. What else do we need to do? We're doers. Here's the crowd. The crowd are looking at the leadership, and the crowd is conscious of the leadership doing, and now they're doing. What do we do to qualify to be able to do this so that we could do this? What do we need to be to do? How do we have to change? So now, having that thought, question, and remember the answer, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So they needed to believe. The work is singular, a singular work. And in order to produce the work, they needed to go, singular, with the goal. What's the goal of the work? This is the work of God. That, the goal. God, what are you trying to do to get people to believe? One is the work, singular. God is doing one thing, to get people to believe. All the signs and wonders and miracles to get people to believe. Now, and that's the point. To get them to believe, that's the goal. To get them to believe. And so, and in one sweep, one word, one action will restore the relationship and make it all work. You need to have a relationship to God. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Here and now, wonderfully, like we did in Sunday school. Here and now, wonderfully God. Wow. Wonderfully God. Now, having said that, so in the light of that, this relationship makes everything happen, makes everything work out. So now in the process, they are to exercise this, and if they did, they would have the God of life would provide them with the life of God, if they had this. Now, so having said that, they're there. And in verse 30 now, remember now, that if you believe, you can believe. So in verse 30, they said, therefore, unto him. Now he said, you need to believe, period. Believe me. That's the one thing. Well, all right, believe. So therefore, they said unto him, what sign, in the light of the work, believing, in other words, they're going to, a little word here to help you, they're going to say, prove it. You said believe. That's it. Now prove it to us. Prove it. Prove it. Now, so, verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou that we may see? We want to actually, visually see something. We want to see. We don't want to feel it. We want to see it. Okay, hang on to that. And that we may see, and then when we see, we'll believe thee. What doest thou work? What are you doing, God? So here, God, the crowd's looking. The crowd has been fed. And the crowd being fed and looking for more, understandably, they've come all the way over for this, account of the feeding. So you can understand in their mind where they're going to go. Because he said you need to believe. He didn't say it'd give them another breakfast or something. He said you need to believe. Well, you can see now why they're going to go where they do. Because they're Jews. And the one thing of all the different things, the crossing of the Red Sea and all of these wonderful things that they had in their life, there was nothing like the feeding of Moses in the wilderness. That was phenomenal. Wow. Wow. So now they just got fed. They just got fed. And now they say, what are you going to show us? Show us a sign. Show us a sign. Show us something. In other words, produce something for us, a sign, a miracle. And by the way, just to catch that a little stronger without doing all of it, go over, if you would, to John chapter 2. Because all the way through, you'll remember in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, without turning there, these signs, these miracles. John, what are you going to do? I'm going to give you one after another miracle, sign. I'm going to write, not as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I'm going to write as the last living apostle, and I'm going to tell you who he is, because your question has been, who are you? Who are you? Prove it. So when you ask for signs, I'm going to record sign after sign after sign after sign. So there's no question. And thus he does. So now, here in chapter 2, picking up if I can, in chapter 2. And I lost John chapter 2, but I'm going to find it. Here it is. John chapter 2, picking up, in verse 18. And just not getting them all, just getting a couple so you can see. John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? So turning the water into wine, etc. We've seen this. Now, what else are you going to show us to see? And you can go over to verse 23. And now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in the name when they saw the miracles which he did. So here he is in the temple, etc. And he did it again, everywhere. And remember, that's why John will say, if I wrote them all down, you don't have enough books to hold them. And you can understand that, because boom, what a power demonstrated. But you didn't see the people getting caught up with that. Why not, is the question. Now, is it because they're terriculous? They're terriculous people. Now, in the light of that, and you can keep going all over the place, chapter 4, verse 48, time and again, then 48, then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. So you want to see something. They always want to see something. So now, back over to John chapter 6. They wanted to see, verse 30, show us, put a sign up there. Show us, what sign? Give us another sign that we may see and believe. We want to see and believe. Want to see what work you're doing, God. What will you do for us to see? We want to see. Now, we don't want to see barley loaves, and we don't want to see fishes, because they're earthly. And even though you did some marvelous thing in some way, that's earthly. Fishes, making fishes and the baskets full and never empty. That's all well and good, but hey, those were just that earthly little barley biscuits. Though they were very good, and little fishes, but that's all they were. That's all they were. So we want to see something, and we want to see what you will do. What will you do? Do something for us to see. We want to see something else. Okay. Now, in the light of that, verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Our fathers ate. Remember now, these are just ordinary Jews, but Moses and manna and feeding, what's related? Bread. You just gave us bread. Somewhere in our history back there in the wilderness, God, Moses gave us bread as a nation. So in verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, in the wilderness, as it is written and stands written. That's what they're reading. They're going by what is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. God gave them bread from heaven to eat. And that's what he did. God gave them this bread. And remember now the Jewish thinking, especially a rabbi, and give you all kinds of quotes. The rabbi, what do we know about them? Well, they are very much into that Moses, the only other person that could ever do what Moses did, is the Messiah. So they're looking. They all know. No one else can do what Moses did. Another will come like Moses, the Messiah. And only those two could ever make manna come out of the sky. Now, only those two. So now, to produce bread, Perut. That's the real test now. It's not barley loaves. I want it to come from nowhere. To come from nowhere. That's what they want. So now in verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, and most assuredly, he was saying to them, I'm saying to you, I say to you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. I want to correct something. Moses never said he gave you that bread. Moses said God gave you that bread. Moses was the instrument that God used, but Moses didn't give you the bread. God did. God gave you that bread. God said it. So it was not Moses, but God was the source, the origin, and it was from heaven. And, now watch, we're not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Now, you got a little verb present tense. Giveth you. Moses gave them. My Father gave them back here in the wilderness. My Father right now is giving you. They're standing there. My Father right now is giving you bread. Not then, not future, right now. My Father is giving you bread. Right now. Wow. Wow. Giving you bread. Uh-huh. My Father is giving you the bread right now, present tense. Wow. And it is, verse 32, the end. It is true, true bread, true, real, trustworthy. No, the inside and the outside match, like on the pencil. It's real all the way through. It is the true, true bread, the true bread from heaven. It's the true bread from heaven. And now, verse 33. For the bread of God, for reason, giving you the reason, the cause, the basis of this statement, that God has given it to you right now. You have. It's right in front of you, right now. And they're looking around. Verse 33. For the bread, the basis of this bread of God is he right now that cometh down from heaven. He's coming down. This one right now that's standing in front of you, this bread is right in front of you from the Father, and you aren't looking for something on the ground. Look at me. I am that bread. I am that bread right now. Now, just to show you, without getting overly into it, here's this little verb in the verse 33, which cometh down from heaven. It's coming down from heaven. Present tense, it's coming down. All right? Now, let me just, without even working at it, over verse 38. For I came down, I'm going to read it. For I came down from heaven. And I'm here, I came down, and the result is I'm still here. Verse 41. The Jews then murmuring at him because he said, I am the bread which came down. Did they understand? They did. You mean to tell me, I'm the bread. I'm the bread. You guys want bread? My Father has given you bread right now. And I am it. I'm the bread. You want bread. You want a miracle. You want signs. You want something from heaven. I am from heaven. And so if you kept reading, you know, over to verse 50, just to jump. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that as a man may eat thereof and not die, to eat this bread and not die. Wow. So we have the little verb to come down over and over again. Thus, verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Aha. Uh-huh. So now it's the bread that cometh down, and God, the bread that comes down and gives life, wonderful life. And, verse 34, and then said Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, always, always, they said, all right, if that's the result, always in our direction, give us the command. Give us this bread. Give us this bread now. Give us this bread. Now, and then you're going to read, of course, verse 35, I am the bread. I told you to believe. Now, back to verse 34. Give us this bread. That's what we want. We're ready right now to receive this bread. Here we are, Lord, right now. You said the Father's giving the bread right now, and here we are. We're ready. We're ready for the bread. Hand it over. Hand over the bread. We're ready for it. And thus, the problem. You remember now, the illustration they used was manna, and they were looking to have them, if you're truly who you are, the prophet, 6 and 14, are you the prophet? Then you should be able to do what Moses did, if you're that prophet that Moses spoke of. So now, here they are doing that, and I want you to lock two things in, if I can. Right? I'm going to repeat everything I just did in another way to show you how consistently our humanity is. Our humanity stays on course, terriculous, all the way forever. It stays. Watch. In John chapter 6, verse 28, their question. What shall we do? How do we do? What do we need to do in order to qualify to do this? What do we need to do? Got that part. Now, the second part, verse 41. The Jews, they had no question about what the Lord was saying. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they murmured. It should have been a wonderful thing. But it wasn't. It was not good. It was not good. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to the book of Exodus, chapter 19. Exodus, chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, picking up in thought, please. And you will note, Exodus 19, I just want to get the John 6, 26. What do we need to do? Give me something that will allow me to have it. All right. Now, what did they do when God spoke to them and told them they'd be the highest, bestest, most wonderful people on earth in the sense of being a blessing to the whole world. The whole world would benefit. Such a position, prize, privilege, precious, personal. No. This is what they said. You know it. You know we said it 1,000 times. 19:8. And all the people answered together and said, all the people, not just the leadership, all the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, and then you have the three little words, we will do them. What do we need to do to produce this? We will do them. We will do them. Wow. So now, we're going to do them. Okay. Let's see. Are they going to be consistent? Oh, they are. Over, if you would, over in the Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And in Exodus 16, picking up, please, here they are. They haven't. Verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 14th day of the second month after their departure out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of children of Israel did what? They murmured. Now, why are they murmuring? Against Moses and against Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel, verse 3, said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, that's a pot they boiled the meat in. Pot, like a pot, you put the meat, and they boiled the meat, hunks of meat, that was their main food. Flesh pots. And we did eat bread to the full. We had a full stomach. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. In Egypt we had meat and potatoes and vegetables. We had everything in Egypt. And out here, what have we got? We got nothing. Nothing. Okay. Hang on. Over if you would, please. Picking up in verse 4. And then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove walk in my law or not. Are they going to really be able to follow me or not? And then, of course, he has the movement. And verse 7. And in the morning, then shall you see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmuring, to mutter, in order to express discontent and to curse. That's the word murmur. Murmuring. To express discontent and to curse. That's what they were doing. Doing it as a group. And against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us? We're just Moses and Aaron. We're just ordinary guys like you are. Verse 8, and Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. Full. You're going to fill your tummy. For the Lord heareth your murmurings, and you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord, etc. Verse 9, and Moses spake unto Aaron, and say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmuring. Now God is answering. He doesn't need to answer. God is answering their need, no question. They want to see that they don't have what they had in Egypt. They're going to have flesh at night. They're going to have manna in the morning. They're going to have it. And they're going to have material. What do we want? What we had in Egypt. Material things. Spiritual things. How do you eat spiritual bread? How do you have fun with spiritual fun? How do you do it with spiritual things? It'd be like all the people that are interested are in the balcony. Not you guys in the balcony. All the people in the balcony, they're the spiritual attenders, you know. Those that come to church in spirit. Did you ever hear that? They come to church in spirit only. And they sit up there. Spirit only. So we're material. But spiritual, even for us today. Listen. But spiritual, it's hard, isn't it? God's invisible, and he isn't distant. He's different. And that's our problem. We're trying to get something. We can touch everything and taste everything. But God, how do we handle you? And it's therefore, we're back to Tertullus. We're back to earth. We're back to the material. And so, Egypt is better than a promise. Bondage is better than freedom, going back to Egypt. God, your attitude of mercy and grace is beyond understanding, but God, it's you. And so manna from God, for God, to get to God, to make the Israelites dependable, to make them realize and wake up that you can't exclude God, you have to include God, and therefore you need to discover on a daily basis that God is required every day of the week, 24 hours a day, as it were. And therefore you need to trust and obey. And I'm going to teach you that. You guys aren't there yet, long before being angry, God. And I'm going to go and give you manna, and you're murmuring and mumbling all over the place. And hey, I want you to know, if you learn to trust and obey, then I'm going to help you understand that all the things that you think you can't do, all the things that are wonderful, I'm going to make them possible. I'm going to make it possible for you to go forward and upward, forward and upward. I'm going to make it happen. But you're going to have to trust me. You have to believe. You got to believe. That's what you got to do. I told you that. The only thing you have to do is believe. You don't believe me, it's not going to go anywhere. You got to believe. So now, having said that, over if you would please to pick up in thought, if I can, and think of the murmuring over and over again, murmuring. And in Egypt, remember, they, chapter 16, verse 3, they were well fed, and they had flesh and fish and bread, and they had vegetables, they had all that stuff. All that stuff was wonderful. But that was in Egypt. So hold your finger here a moment and go over with me to Numbers 11 just to look at it again. So you're reminded, God is going to say it several times. Chapter 11, Numbers, in verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again, and they said, "Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. You are slaves, you dummies. You're slaves. You aren't free. It'd be like the people in reactivate Alcatraz. The Alcatraz prison. It'd be like the prisoners say, "Listen, it's a wonderful place." You call them and they send you a little note. "Wonderful place. The food is free. I live in a 6-foot cell. The food is free." Wow. Now, so, and we remember the fish, verse 5, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons and leeks, I told you, and the onions and the garlic. That's the slave's diet, not the Egyptian diet. And, but now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed. That's a plant that grows. And the seed, the coriander seed, is a white, grayish, little sparkling seed. It has a bitter sweetness to it. And they said, "This manna is like that on the ground. And the color of bdellium," and bdellium is white. It's a jewel. We don't know what it is for sure. Don't know for sure. Way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 12. Way back then. Now, so what it is, but it's white, and sparkling. So when you look, the dew from the night would settle on the ground. And when the dew evaporated, all of this white sparkling, you couldn't miss it, was manna. Little like grain, little pea grains. And you could pick them up, and they were the bestest food. It was the food, if you ate it, you would live on and never get sick. By the way, do you remember ever reading the Israelites getting sick in the wilderness for 40 years? Now, some of them died, but they didn't get sick. They just died. How can that be? Wow. God did everything wonderfully for them. They didn't like manna. They hated the manna. The Lord said, "Believe. Show us a sign. Give us some food, earthly." The Lord said, "I am the food, heavenly." They didn't want it. They just didn't want it. And they murmured. And that's what people do. "Give me a message. Give me some help." You have to come to God. "Well, we want it without God." You can't have it without God. You can't have it without God. That's the whole point. You can't have it. You can't leave God out. You can't do it. Over to Romans, Deuteronomy chapter 8. Our time is gone, but hope you got a little bit. Wonderful things. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And you remember verse 9, quickly. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass or bronze. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. But beware that thou forget the Lord thy God. And reading the whole wonderful context, verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, and that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee, to do thee good. In the latter end, God was interested in having it work out in a most wonderful way. What was the lesson from the manna among 100 things, God? What were you trying to help them that they couldn't see, and they still didn't see? And they're going to end up crucifying Christ. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy, verse 3. 8 and verse 3. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that purpose he might make thee to what? To know what? That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And you can't just be earthly. You're going to die. And flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And you're going to go right back. You came from dust. You are dust. You're going back to dust. And unless you make some transaction and some transition, that's what it's going to be, an end. And the wrong kind of end for you, and you will not like it. Man shall not live by bread alone. Remember the devil in the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 4? When the devil came to tempt the Lord in the wilderness, when he was being proving himself that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the right one. And the devil came and after 40 days and nights, aren't you hungry? And the Lord Jesus answered, thou shalt not. He quoted this. Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You don't understand. Life isn't centered in that bread. Life is centered in God, who gives life. When you believe on me, believe, and thou shalt have life. Wow, a relationship. That's right. Wow. Over if you would. Closing. Over to. Where shall we go? I wish I could drive this nail right home. Man, it's so wonderful. We're so trichulous. You'll use that. Use that when you go to work. Tell them, you look trichulous. I mean, you're really into, you're a trichulous guy, aren't you? You know, that they'll appreciate that. Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And you know, picking up very quickly, in the light of the wilderness, the whole subject context. Verse 17, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted, put God to the test in their heart by asking meat, food for their lust. They didn't have any interest in what God, they didn't have any interest. They were looking for Egypt. And they were just testing God. Show us a sign. Show us a sign that we might do, we might believe. And verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God do anything? Behold, all he can do is manna and flesh. Behold, he smote the rock that the water gushed out. The streams overflowed. He gave bread also. Can he provide flesh to his, for his people? And God flooded them with quail, etc. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, that so a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Verse 32. And in all of this they sinned still, 32:78, and believed not for his wondrous works. Bottom line, they should have believed. They just didn't believe. What are you going to tell them in John chapter 6? You got to believe. What's changed? Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. No, not at all. Not at all. And they limited, verse 41. They turned back. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and put him to the test and limited the Holy One of Israel. And all the things they could have had and would have had, they never had. Never had it. Never had it. Well, they could have. They could have. They could have. You know, in the Pennsylvania Dutch language down there in Pennsylvania and all that, there is an expression. If we had a big group of us for dinner or something, and we had dinner, and we were there, and everything was served to us, and then the person serving puts it all on the table and goes back into the kitchen. And on the way back into the kitchen, quote, there's more in the kitchen when this gets all, A-L-L. There's more in the kitchen when this gets all, unquote. Pennsylvania Dutch. She's on her way back into the kitchen. You got some stuff on the table. Now, what did that mean? Translate. When what you have is all gone, there's more where that came from. I'm doing it grace to you now. And by the way, there's more grace where that came from. God, here we are. And God said, I didn't go anywhere. I'm right there. There's more in heaven. Spiritual blessing, mine. Unheard of and beyond understanding. There's more in heaven for you. Use what I gave you. I don't want to use up the grace. Use up the grace. Like the manna. They had to eat the manna every day because God eliminated it in the afternoon. So they'd have to do it all over again tomorrow. To learn to trust God. We have it in Matthew. Give us in the prayer, the disciples' prayer. Give us this day, what? Our daily bread. Wow. They murmured, the dummies. They just murmured. And God said, listen, I'm the answer in front of you. No, no. And they missed out, didn't they? You had to believe. Ah, no. John, these things are written so that he doesn't have to stand in front of you. We're in the presence of God marvelously, and heaven has been brought into your heart when you receive the Lord as your Savior. A heavenly supply for all our need. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, God. Here we are. So thank you very much for loving us, watching us, caring. God, help us to understand more and more. Such a wonderful thing you do. God, thank you very much. For those who know you not as Lord and Savior, God, convict, convince them. That they would wonderfully just do what you told them and believe. To receive you, not to receive a piece of bread, to receive you, to have the bread of life, to have the life, your life, God. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.